woman and the person who is released from prison technically has to do with the fact that one is a protected class and the other one isn't.
Point well taken. I agree with you. My point is that if you get to the point of a conditional offer, the employer has made a decision to hire that person based on their interview and their skills. So why does there need to be a question of their background? My premise is that if the person has paid their debts to society, why can't we let it in there? That's my point. And I'm asking you to make the tough decision. It's a compromise to do what you've done, and I applaud you for doing that, but I'm asking you to make the tough decision and ban the box and let that be it.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Jimenez. I work for the City of Portland. I'm off the clock. It's past 5 o'clock. I am a survivor of domestic violence, childhood sexual abuse, being trafficked. When I first came back to Portland in 1989, I was trafficked by a gang full of people. I got charges on me because I was with that gang full of people, even though I was locked in a room every day and only let out at night to walk up and down the street. I then got involved with someone who did some drug stuff, and I was affiliated with that even though I wasn't doing it. I was going to Portland Community College to become an alcohol and drug counselor and got a felony conviction on drugs. That has been with me for 22 years. It means that whenever I apply for a place to live, like this summer when the investment firms bought my affordable housing and kicked us out and I had to go get a much more expensive place, wherever I go to move, I have to write a letter. What I found was interesting in that, I want to do more research, was it seems as though the inner ring of Portland, actually all of those management companies have come together and said, we're not going to take felons no matter what. And then you go out further and further. By the time you get to Gresham, you can live, your felons can live out there. Luckily, I found a company in North Portland where I wanted to stay who said, we only check 7 years back, so if you haven't done anything in 7 years, you're good. But it was very disconcerting to see that folks are organized in that way, because that's economic redlining. This is what we're doing, not we, the City of Portland, but the folks who work with us on this. Those are some of the issues that need to be addressed. I came to the City of Portland after going through those hard times, living in a shelter for 14 months, becoming a community organizer, a labor organizer, becoming the chair of Jobs with Justice, raising the minimum wage, which we're going to do again, yes, and working for the Environmental Justice Action Group, which defeated the expansion of the I-5 freeway through North and Northeast Portland to protect people's loans. Organizing saved and changed my life. And now I'm here at the City of Portland as the program coordinator for the Diversity and Civic Leadership Partners, which many of them were here earlier and last night. Very proud of the program, and I want to thank you so much for supporting the program. But what happened when I came here, I had 3 interviews, and I was afraid. I'm going to get through one interview, I'm going to have hope. I got to the second interview, I want to have hope, but I'm putting it in God's hands because I don't know. What if I get to the third interview and they say, what about this background check? But when I got there, my director, Amalia Alarcón-Demora, said, no, we know who you are. We know you're a great organizer. We know you know a lot of people, and that's what we want you for. What you did in the past didn't have anything to do with that. And so that type of looking and having redemption for people is what we're talking about when we're talking about redemption. Because when I signed up for class or signed up for some place to live, I've always had to write a letter explaining, that's who I was, this is who I am, and leave it in the hands of people that I don't know whether or not people are hopeful and believe in redemption. But if we don't believe in redemption, and we don't believe jails reform people, then we need to stop putting so much energy into the jailing system and do something different. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Jerry, how long have you now been an employee of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement?
9 years this month.
Thank you very much for your service.
Thank
you.
Well, that's a great note for us to end our testimony on, Jerry. Thank you. We appreciate you. So I think we have some questions for staff, and I also have some suggestions about amendments. Okay, well, I'm going to suggest two things about amendments. Based on what we've heard today, if my seconder will agree, I'm going to withdraw the amendment about oral notice, because I think written notice makes sense, and it's not so great a burden based on what we've heard here this evening. So I'm not sure who seconded
that. I withdraw my second.
Okay. And then I want to recommend that we add an amendment that requires that the proposed administrative rules come back to council for review.
Second.
So if it pleases the council, what I would suggest is, because of the complexity of the multiple amendments, that we ask staff to come back with a consolidated version of those amendments at our next hearing.
That would be good. And can I make another request, Mayor?
Yes.
There was the lady who testified about the current state of federal law on background checks and the sequencing and the requirements. What got my attention, Judy, about that is that since that's already a heavily regulated area, I think the council would benefit from just getting a one-pager on what that current legal framework is, and does it or does it not help us in fashioning administrative rules?
Can I just say a little bit of what I know now? The Fair Credit Reporting Act is for financial credit. There's still a question as to whether criminal history, my understanding is it's still a question as to whether criminal history is included in this rigorous test. So I will do exactly as you asked.
You could just give us a one-pager. If there's a legal question, you'll let us know. If there's a scheme that's already been established, that obviously if there was a federal rule that already applied that was a first cousin of what we're considering, we'd want to track it as much as possible so there was alignment. But I'd still be interested in knowing what the architecture of that is and to whom it applies.
Commissioner, I want to reinforce that it may be instructive, but it probably is not going to be entirely determinative, because your ordinance is going to apply to a slightly wider class of employers than Title VII does.
So, Harry, I have great confidence you'll make that clear in a memo. But even if it's quote-unquote instructive, it's instructive. And I'd just like to know what those requirements are so we understand soup to nuts what we're potentially asking someone to do.
Good point. Other requests of staff? So,
Were you intending to vote on the amendments then at the next hearing and have a third reading of the thing, or we?
My suggestion is we close the public hearing at this point, that we ask staff to enroll the amendments that we've discussed and moved and seconded, minus the one that we just withdrew and plus the one that I just added verbally. But rather than asking people to vote on a package that's that complicated without having it literally in front of us redlined, I think it would be, again, on the measure twice, cut once theory. I'd like to close the public hearing and schedule this for adoption of those amendments and second reading at the same time. I believe we can do that, right?
No, you can't amend a non-emergency ordinance within 5 days of its passage. Right. So you'd have to then bring it back.
We can adopt the amendments next week and have second reading the week after that. So, right, Josh, you want to help us out here? Calendar issues?
No, I'm prepared to vote on the amendments. I thought they were pretty clearly laid
out. Well, okay, we can vote on the amendments if you're comfortable with that. And then, again, ask the council have a chance to review the ordinance as amended when it comes back for second reading.
Mayor, if the purpose of the voting on the amendments now is to give us a chance at a second reading to vote on it.
Yes.
That's the option. The council can always come back in a second reading and say that we want further action on amendments.
Yeah.
But let's take a vote on the amendments just so we have something before us.
All right. Mm-hmm. So then I'll accept a motion, or we'll take a vote on the amendments as moved and seconded, all of them. And again, with an understanding that the ordinance will come back to us with those clarified and highlighted for adoption at second reading, or if the council does not please to adopt it at the second reading, we can continue after that.
Let me just be clear, because it's getting late. You've proposed a series of amendments, one you've withdrawn and one you've added as a oral amendment.
That's correct. And we
Commissioner
also
Novick,
have Commissioner
Novick, you still have an amendment?
Yes, it is also moved and seconded.
Why don't we take up Steve's? Why don't we take up your package, Mayor?
Okay.
And then let's take up the oral amendment that you just made, so we're clear.
That's a good idea. So my amendments are the Scrivener's error to Section B, which merely changed the number 8 to the number 6. The direct ordinance amendment number 2, which changes Directive C and requires that the city attorney negotiate an intergovernmental agreement with Boley. The change to the addition of a Directive D, that the city attorney provide council with a one-year report on claims by individuals or actions by the attorney general.
As amended in our discussion.
As amended by our discussion, exactly. And I've withdrawn the amendment about oral notice to the prospective employee. So those are my amendments. So moved.
So let's take the Hales package.
You had a number 4 about the one-year report on claims from the attorney general.
I got that one.
Okay.
When I just mentioned that one. So those are my original amendments.
That's right. And you didn't get
that. I second and I move those.
Okay. So let's take a vote, please, on those amendments to incorporate those.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Then I also want to move that we add an amendment that will require that the proposed administrative rules be brought to council for approval.
Second.
Any further discussion about that one? Straightforward enough. The staff will prepare administrative rules and they'll come to the council for approval. Okay, roll call on that.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And then we have Commissioner Novick's amendment that added for offenses not involving physical harm or attempted physical harm to a person to subsection 030.
Steve, would you explain that amendment again?
What this is 2310.030E, which says that nothing in this section prevents an employer from considering an applicant's criminal history after making additional offer of employment, except that an employer shall not consider an arrest not leading to a conviction, convictions that have been judicially voided or expunged, or charges that have been resolved through the completion of a diversion or deferral of judgment program. And I wanted to add to that, for offenses not involving physical harm or attempted physical harm to a person. In other words, if there's a diversion of judgment program for offenses involving physical harm or attempted physical harm, then I'm suggesting that it might be possible for an employer to consider that.
Yeah, and that's fairly routine, that there'll be diversion for a drug offense or for drunk driving that doesn't involve an injury, that people are given the opportunity at plea to go through diversion instead. So your intent is that if it's that kind of criminal conviction, that would not be worthy of consideration.
So this sounds like you're drawing a distinction between violent and nonviolent?
Yes.
And your amendment actually expands the safe harbor.
Yes, it in effect allows an employer to consider charges that have been resolved through completion of diversion or deferral if the offense involved physical harm or attempted physical harm.
It narrows the safe harbor.
Right.
Narrows the safe harbor. Otherwise, there, at least in theory, you could have a diversion. I don't know if this actually happens, but you have a diversion for simple assault. You get in a bar fight, you get convicted of assault, you go through diversion. And I don't know if this actually happens or not, but theoretically, at least, that could happen. And you're saying there was physical harm involved.
It may be late here, but if by creating that qualification, you're expanding the safe harbor. I mean, I just want to be clear.
Depending on what we mean by safe harbor, I assume safe harbor means that, yes, there are some things an employer can consider.
Right.
And this
safe
would
harbor for the employer.
Yeah. Yes. And this right. And this would expand such a safe harbor.
Yes. I'm prepared to vote on it.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Further questions about that?
I'd like to know, do we know what deferrals are available for people who have done physical harm?
I don't know the catalog.
I know some.
Judy knows some.
Right. I know, for example, driving under the influence of intoxicants is one. Beyond that, I do not know. That's one specifically called out for diversion.
So in other words, if you may have caused physical harm by your DUI.
Well, that's something that we can clarify, that we need to clarify, and whether there are others, as the mayor said, other...
And another concern I have is with domestic violence, which I would assume that there are some diversion programs for, in which case the perpetrator may have specifically violence against a against their domestic partner, not necessarily a danger to the public at large.
It doesn't say that. It says involving harm or attempted harm.
Well, domestic violence can be harm or attempted harm.
I agree. That's why I wouldn't be subject to this exception.
That's what my point, and it's late, I'm not making it apparently very well, is that in that case, the harm is only directed to a partner. There is not necessarily any particular risk of harm to the general public, particularly if the person has taken anger management classes or whatever. Therefore, they should still not be allowed to consider that
I think
referral.
From my point of view, it's propensity for violence. I don't think we can parse this out at 5:30. I think we should vote it up or down. And if we vote it up, we're saying, if we support it, we're saying to Judy, in the regulations, we'd like to see a thoughtful treatment of this, and then we have the final say on whether you got it right or wrong.
And we can also ask the police bureau and the district attorney and some others for counsel.
I view Steve's as a broader statement of principle, and it has to be worked out in the regs.
I'm okay with that, too. Okay. Are you content to take a vote on this? Then let's do the police.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
No.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales.
Right. Okay. So those are our amendments. We've covered them all. You'll bring the ordinance back to us for second reading with those amendments included and with the questions that the council members have posed answered.
Is this coming back just in the regular agenda next week?
That's yes.
It does not have a time certain.
It doesn't have to have a time certain. It's just on the regular agenda. Okay.
Day before Thanksgiving.
Thank you all very much. We are recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of myself. An hour ago, I texted Rachel.
Yeah, I.